my Jesus is bigger than the devil, right? And so we've just got to keep pushing and standing on the promises, standing on the word of God, because this word is true, this word is powerful, this word is our authority, this word is what we stand and live and breathe. And you know, if people won't stand and live and breathe in this, then they'll die. This is oxygen. You know, this is spiritual oxygen, the word of God. This is spiritual food that strengthens you, that actually creates something within you. When we're born again, we're born of the Spirit. It came by the word. And that word begins to work in us, and that Spirit works in us, you know, from a seed which is incorruptible.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
You're no longer corruptible.
Amen.
You're born of an incorruptible seed. All you've got to keep doing is putting the old one down to death. Yeah. Now and again it gets up, you know, and the devil tries to feed it to get it up.
It does.
You know?
Yeah.
Anxiety, stress, anger, money desires, sexual desires, you name it, they're all there, and he'll try and bring them to you. Alcohol, drugs, whatever. He will, guilt, condemnation, anything he can to try and bring back to life the old you. Hallelujah. There you go. I don't know why I bother you. I just moved my mouth and grace preachers, you know what I mean? Hallelujah, praise his wonderful name. And so we, you know, spiritual warfare is important to church life. It's what we live and breathe for. It's what we should be involved in. It's what we should be pushing through with. Are you guys warm enough, by the way, or do you want a bit of heat on? I'm fine. I'm moving around. It gets hot up here. But, you know, if you get a bit chilled, we can flick a switch, and so it won't be a problem. You okay? Right, that's fine. If you feel a bit cool, stand up, start moving around. Praise God. You know, wave your hands and get excited, you know, and start doing some spiritual warfare.
Amen.
And then the devil will back off, you know, start, you know, things will start moving forward.
Amen.
A number of things have happened this week since I preached last week, or began to teach and preach on spiritual warfare. We've had some kickbacks. So obviously we must be moving in the right direction. We must be saying some of the right things.
Mm.
And you know, the little foxes have risen up and started to interfere. The little foxes have begun to try and do some damage.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? We can deal with little foxes.
Oh,
you know. Glory to God. With the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, we don't phase about the individuals, right? It's not the person that's causing the trouble. It's the demonic force that is causing them to do stupid things or to get caught up in the histrionics, etc. And so it's not the people we're upset with.
No.
But it's spiritual warfare. It's the demonic forces that seek to come against us.
Yeah.
You know something? We have victory.
Yeah.
We have victory. In fact, you need to say this. I have the victory. Come on again. I have the victory. Hallelujah. And that's great. And sometimes you've got to keep telling yourself. Sometimes it may feel like you don't have the victory. You know, because things get thrown at you and it's coming at you. And it's even worse these days on Messenger. I mean, I've seen things flying through my Messenger pages and that. And there's sometimes you just think, I have the victory. I'm not answering that one. God, you deal with it.
Amen.
There are some things that are laid out as bait to you for you to bite on, you know. And it's like, and boy, there is some bait I would love to bite on. You know what I mean? I'd love to just give them a piece of my mind. But tell you what, there ain't a lot spare and available, so I better just keep it to myself and then just let God deal with them. It's like I said, I think I said it last week about the fact of in the company we have had to pray and say, God, either move them or change them, and then step back.
Yeah.
And when I say step back, you step back into peace.
You do. It's
not a retreat. But you step back out of the way so that God can move in and do what is needed to be done. I don't know if I've told this one to everybody, but many years ago I was in a difficult situation and I was praying about it, and it seemed like the enemy was just constantly coming at me with this thing. And I'd been wrestling with the enemy, trying to beat him, to drive him back from me. And I was getting nowhere really very fast. And then suddenly one day as I'd got this open vision, I could see the enemy in front of me. He wasn't all that big, but boy, he was a pain in the whatever. You know, absolute, you know, just... And all of a sudden I heard this voice say to me from behind, "Kneel!" With a real sort of emphasis and "Kneel!" And I dropped to my knees, and as I did that, I saw this almighty hand from behind me sweep across in front of me and strike the devil. Yeah. And he went rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. And I said, "God, why didn't you do that earlier?" And he answered me back. He said, "Because you were in the way." Oh, has anybody been in the way lately? You know, sometimes you have to take your hands off the thing. Yeah, but I'm not being a responsible parent, but I'm not being a responsible whatever it is. You are, because you're stepping back and you're letting the parents of all parents, God Almighty, deal with it.
Yeah.
And say, "Lord, I put my children in your hands. I've done all I can do. Now it's up to you. They're yours."
Yeah.
And same when we witness and share the gospel with people. When we witness and share the gospel with people, we've sown the seed. We have to then leave it.
Yeah.
And some of them will swallow it, and after a while they'll vomit it back. And then, you know, sometimes like dogs do, they'll go back and they'll eat it again. That's what happens. At some stage, it will get there. But our job is to do that spiritual warfare. Our job is to keep pressing in. Our job is to keep pressing and using the Word of God to sound effect.
Amen.
So, first of all, spiritual warfare, as we said last week, starts with you. Starts with you and preparing. You need to prepare yourself. You need to get yourself ready. And so a number of ways that we need to be using is, praise is a great weapon against the devil. Praise is a great weapon against the devil. And so when you don't feel like praising, that's the time to praise.
Amen.
Ever been in that place where, "I don't feel like it today. I'm having a bad day and I don't really care," and you're in the mully grubs and you're really... You could kick something if it, you know. You just, that's the way you feel. "I don't want to praise God. You know, what's he done for me this week?" You know, ever been there?
Yeah.
Come on, be honest, for goodness sake. You know, let's... You know, I've been there. Yeah. You had a few years at it, didn't you, Lord? Yeah. What a waste. And let's be honest, we're really wasting time.
Yeah.
Instead of just... get over it, give it over to God and start praising God. God didn't, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. Because it's all going okay. Is that what it says?
No,
it says, in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God. So that means, in everything, hang on, wait a minute. I've just been having a tough time, and you mean I have to praise God during that tough time? Yes.
Yeah.
That's everything. But I thought you only praise God when things were really going happy, you know, when things were... Happiness is just a feeling.
Yeah.
It's just an emotion. It is not birthed from the Spirit. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm.
You see, we need to have real joy. Happiness goes on. Is it sunny today? Is it warm today? Oh, it's raining. I'm not very happy today. You know, that's how we tick into it. Our emotions can do this, up and down. Some are worse than others. You know, some do this and that, you know, and then they give them drugs to bring them up, and then they have to bring them down again and what have you. And there's all this emotional thing that goes on. And yet the people of God should be not emotionless, but steady. We're steady. Because the word says, I am not moved by what I see.
No.
I am only moved by the word of God. We'll get to the message in a bit. I'm only moved by the word of God. Not what I see, because what I see starts to hit my emotions first if I'm not careful. So I have to begin to move myself to a different level. I have to move up the spiritual mountain. I have to move myself from that circumstance, step back from it, and step into the presence of God and stay there during that challenging time and hand it all over to Him. See, there's been a few things this week, and I'm just like, God, the enemy's at it. He's been in the field stealing again. Well, the Bible says if he's caught thieving, he has to repay seven times. Glory to God. I caught him stealing, so I'm getting seven times back. Look, this is what the word... I'm not using anything that's not in there, am I, Mike? It's all in the book. Steal, you know, if the enemy steals. And God says, claim it back.
Amen.
God will bring an increase.
Yeah.
When it looks bad, you know, God's there just to... You know, the disciples went fishing, didn't they? After Jesus had been crucified. Spent all night. Now, these guys knew how to fish. They made a living at it. Well, that day they didn't make a diddly squat, did they? You know what I mean? They were about to come in with nothing in the boat. And there's a man stood on the seashore. And he says, have you caught anything? Nope. Bad night. Not a thing. We didn't even get a tittle in the net. He said, well, just throw your net over the other side. Who was this idiot on the beach? You don't fish in daylight in Galilee, right? That's a no-no. You don't catch fish like that. We sat at a restaurant on the Sea of Galilee, night time. The biggest miracle about this is how they never caught fish all night. Because when we were there, I took a piece of pita bread and did this. And it went out and dropped in the water because we were overlooking it. We were high up, weren't we? And all of a sudden, it was like there were piranhas in the water. And to me, that scripture came to mind. We fished all night and caught nothing. I'm like, what sort of dummy fishes are you? I mean, it's like, the biggest miracle was the fact they didn't catch anything. You see, sometimes God intervenes and doesn't let you have what you want right at that point in time because He's got something bigger available to you.
Amen.
And then when he says, try the other side. We've just dragged his nets up. We've just got them cleaned. We just got about sorted out. And now this guy on the beach wants us to chuck our nets over the other side. Probably one of the disciples said, well, look, you know, we've had a night of nothing. Just try and see what happens, you know. Don't to lose. Threw it over the other side. Next thing, the holiday. Hey, bring your boat, come on. We're sinking, we've got that many fish. You know, we need to press through. When sometimes you step back from it, take your hands off it and say, God, it's all yours.
Yeah.
All the work that we've done here is all for God. It's all His.
Yeah.
It's all about Him.
Yeah.
He has to be the central portion of everything. If not, we might as well all go home. If it's not him first, and if it's not him getting the glory when people are healed, when people are saved, if it's not the glory going to him, then guess what? We're wasting our time. Because none of, you know, it's all that we ever can do and are doing is because of Christ. And so we stand together with the Word of God. We stand on the promises of God and we begin to praise God. Lord, I don't feel like it. It doesn't say, praise me when you feel like it. It says, praise me. Worship. Again, worship is slightly different to praise, and we'll not go into that at this moment, but worship him. Give him adoration. Give him the right for who he really is. Acknowledge that. Let your prayer, let your prayers be powerful. Pray the Word of God. Dig out scriptures and pray them over people. Pray them over yourself. Ephesians is a great book, the first few chapters. Pray them. I said to you last week about put your name in that place. Pray over yourself. There's nothing wrong with it. Paul was doing it anyway. And the other thing we need to know is we need to be knowing the Word of God so that we can use it as a sharp two-edged sword to bring down the power of the enemy. That's why we're running Bible school, so that you guys that have joined and given your hearts and lives to Jesus in the last few months can get a better grasp of the Word of God, can get a better handle on the Word of God, so that you can use it powerfully, so the enemy will not overwhelm you with circumstances and situations that would seek to destroy you and to drag you back into the old lifestyle. Because that's what the devil is out there with grappling hooks, and he's throwing them out trying to drag you back in. Yeah. Don't let him hook onto you. No. And so sometimes we have to use spiritual warfare, the sword of the Spirit, and we cut off that grappling hook.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Jesus did it. The devil came to Jesus in the wilderness and tempted him. He tried to use the Word of God against him, but Jesus turned around and turned it on him. And cut it all off. And he won the victory. And so we need to do that. The other thing we have to remember is your confession of faith. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life? Have you asked him into your heart and into your life? If you've done it, you're on the way to victory. And then you start confessing the Word of God. I believe that this Bible is the divine inspired Word of God himself. It's God breathed. God breathed. You know, a lot of churches these days don't even open the Bibles. They don't even have a breaking of bread service. They don't even come before the table. Jesus said, as often as you come together. Some churches only do it once a year. Is that as often as they come together to meet with God? Every week we do it to meet, because it's a contact point with the cross and with the blood of Jesus and the life of Christ. It is a contact delivering point. It's a point of absolute inspiration to each and every one of us. Or it should be. I have seen people healed when receiving bread from the Lord's table. And that was in an Orthodox church. The power of God. And I gave the bread. I was giving the bread out. I mean, who am I? Can't believe it, I'm all robed up. You know, I had to be all robed up for this service. There I am in the robes, and it's this breaking of bread service. And the floor was like these concrete slabs that are here. And there were a couple of rugs laid out, you see. And there was quite a large proportionate lady. And she came out to receive the bread, the Lord's body. And as she came out, I just put it in her hand. And the power of God hit her. She didn't partake of that bread. It just touched her hand. The power of God hit her. She hit the floor. And that she got a bad back. I didn't know that at the time, but just to help you, she had a bad back when she came out. And that bread was placed in her hand. The power of God hit her. She hit the floor and she bounced. And I stood there and went, ooh, ooh. That's not going to be good, is it? You know, there was no catchers, you know. There was nobody there to say, oh, you know, just caught her in time. No, she bounced. And I went, ooh, ooh, dear me. She was out for a few minutes. When she reconnected with everybody, she got up totally healed.
Amen.
Come on. Come on. There is such dynamics of power from the Word of God that we either forget if we knew about them, we diminish them for some reason instead of increasing them. And we need to reconnect with these things. This is the church's power sources that we need to reconnect with. And become a vibrant, powerful body of believers. That when we meet somebody, lives are changed.
Amen.
We went out last night to the camera club. Not last night. Thursday night to the camera club. And I said to Grace, I might take the dog. Because they were doing a portrait night, you see. So I might take the dog, because I know when I get there, they'll say, where's Charlie? Where is he? We want to take a photograph. So I thought, I'll take him. And then I thought, well, if I've got the dog, then I'm going to have to look after the dog, so I can't do it. I can't use my camera, can I? So I persuaded Grace to come along. And it was absolutely right, because whilst we were there, Grace had a number of opportunities to witness to different people. And a young man who I've not really got to know because of the lockdown situation, really. He came up to me and he was chatting. As soon as I walked in, he came up and started chatting to me. Absolutely straight bang in the face, you know. I couldn't get away from him. Like, you know, it's like he wanted to talk to us. And we then discovered that whilst he was at university, he's not long finished university, whilst he was at university, a friend of his had taken him to a church. Was it in Leeds? In Leeds. And it was a evangelical Pentecostal church. And he'd been going there. So he knows something of Jesus. He enjoyed the singing. He enjoyed what was going on. He enjoyed the Bible and that. And he still doesn't know Jesus.
Yeah.
And he said after some while, he said to me, he said, would it be all right if I came to your church?
Amen.
Oh, I said, yeah, no problem. So I gave him all the details, gave him one of the cards and that. And so, you know, amazing, isn't it? And I keep telling people, just gossip the gospel. That's all you're doing. Just gossip it. You know, talk about church as if, well, it is, as if it's just normal. It's lifestyle. That's all you do. It's everyday conversation. Do it in the supermarket when they're behind the till. You get through faster. Get this nutter from underneath, you know. They're captivated. They can't turn around and say, shut up. Customs always right. Besides. There's power in this word. There's power in the name of Jesus. What a name. What a beautiful name. There's power in that name. There's power in the blood of Jesus. The table. I'll do some teaching again on that. But don't just look at this as a fruit juice or a wine. Jesus said to his disciples, this is my body. This is my blood.
Yeah.
Not it resembles. Not it's a bit like it. He says, this is my blood. This is my body, right? Don't ask me how it happens. It's not the way the Catholics think about it. But when we begin to partake of that broken body, as we part, something dynamic in the spiritual realm happens to us. Because it's a mystery. The Word of God is in us. As we drink of that cup, that cleansing blood has washed us, and we're covered by the blood of Jesus. Now there's, you know, there's that old hymn. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood. And a powerful words. You know, there is power. There is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord Jesus. So these are important things that we use as weaponry in our spiritual warfare. The Psalms, tremendous Psalms to read and just sit, even sing them. In the old church in the early days when the church first started, they would sing the Psalms. In fact, even in the Old Covenant, they sang the Psalms because it was about God.
Amen.
If you're singing about God, then you're not singing about the devil. If you're singing about God, you're not thinking about the devil. If you're singing about God, you're not being troubled in your mind by the devil. Because you're focused.
Yes.
So easy today. It's so easy for us to get distracted with the TV or something else. And then we lose it. And have you noticed, if you get on the computer, it's not long before you think, heck, I've been on here 3 hours. Where did that go? And it can swallow your time. So sometimes we have, maybe sometimes we have to learn to manage our time. They say, whoa. Because what happens is the first thing that we miss out on is our relationship with God and our spiritual warfare. That's what goes to boot. Is that right? Hello? Be honest. It's not a guilt trip, but it's, you be honest with yourself and say, yeah, that's really what happens. And that means I have got to do something about that. The I in me that's in the middle of pride has got to do something about it. God can't do anything about it because you have to make that choice. You have to make those steps. You know, and don't get me wrong. I know I started off and talked about, the devil's been having a go. Not everything is the devil's fault.
No.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Have a look in the mirror. And whoever you see in the mirror, they're involved in it. You know, I used to say when we were renting buildings that when I get my own church building, I'm going to have mirrors. So that we're going to have mirrors along there, you see, and so that people could look at themselves praising God and think, I look miserable, don't I? You know what I mean? You do. You know, you could honestly, you want to stand up here sometimes and look out and you think, just look at that miserable set. Don't so-and-so look a miserable sob today. You know, I mean, for goodness sake. And if you're not careful, can it not, Daniel? It can affect us, can't it? Or it will try. I'll tell you what I once did. This was when we were renting a building. Everybody was in church. We started worship. Well, it was diabolical. So I just turned around and said, everybody, out. Get out. I said, leave your burdens at the doorway. Don't bring them in here. I said, shake them off and come back in. Do you know something? The service took off.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah,
the Bible says, cast your burdens, cast all your cares upon who? Your wife? Your husband? Your bank manager? No, Jesus.
Amen.
It Tell you what, when everybody came back in after that, we were moving some fire. So if you come in miserable, you might get shown the door out. Some folk would have said, surely you'd have lost some congregation. Well, that's their choice. We've come to worship God. We've come to meet with God. We've come to bring that corporate anointing that God has laid upon you.
Yep.
Right? Spiritual warfare is about you bring your anointing.
Yep.
Are you anointed?
I am.
Some of you are. You see, Christ means the anointed one. And Christ lives in us. So because Christ is living in us, then, well done. We are anointed. You see, it's not rocket science, right? It's just simple. Keep it simple. That's all it's about. Jesus did not make it complicated, right? He made it easy. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were making it complicated. And Jesus said, you whitewashed sepulchres. You stink with all your rubbish. Because they brought a pile of new more extra laws in. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go there, you can't have this, you shouldn't do this. Let me tell you, I realise this. If you really love Jesus, you won't do it. You don't need a load of laws. It's that love. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Love God. And when that happens, and you're in that relationship, you don't want to do the other stuff because that love is so strong that it prevents you from doing that. And so this is why we have to keep our passion and love for God going like crazy. It's got to be so... It's not just 24/7, but it's got to be a real burning fire of passion, for the Lord. And when you're like that, it's like, just don't get in the way. Just don't get in the way. Because you can just, it says, talks about the David and his men, and there was one guy, it says he ran through a troop. He had such a passion. Probably when they looked at him running towards them, they thought, dear God, is that a fireball or something? He was slaying them and laying them down like crazy. And he says he ran through a troop. He had such a passion. And we need to have that passion for God. We need to be pressing in and pushing forward. So those are some of the things that, in particular, those are the key things that we need to be working on. Our praise, our worship, our prayer time, the amount of the Word of God, our confession, and remembering the power that there is in God's Word. This Word is a Word that opens blind eyes. This Word is a Word that actually gives eyes to those that don't have eyes. This Word is a Word that takes somebody who is on their way to hell and drags them from that point and puts them into heaven.
Amen.
It's totally life-changing. And so this Word is there for that reason. And the name of Jesus, some people, the world uses the name of Jesus as a curse word. I have it all the time. People I meet and, sorry about that, didn't mean that. And I just said to him, well, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. What do you mean? Well, I think about what I just said. Because what's in here comes out of here. Jesus said so. And so when you're in love with Jesus, what's going to come out of here?
Jesus.
Eh? Well, no. Oh, give us a kiss, Jesus. I just love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you.
Amen.
And when we move in spiritual warfare, when we're moving in that praise, when we're moving like that in that dimension, the devil's not going to be able to touch you.
No.
The name, the blood, the Word of God. You know, I've just had this picture. When the anointing comes over you, the anointing, the anointing oil, and it's just poured over you, and you're covered in oil. Have you tried to hold anything that's covered in oil? Eh? When you're covered in that precious oil of heaven, and the devil seeks to grab hold of you, eh? And he gets his arms around you and squeezes, and suddenly you go. He ain't got a chance, has he? It's not going to happen. You know, he'll grab hold of your arm, and you just pull away, and it just slides out of his grip. Get filled. Get covered in that precious anointing. Be filled in the Spirit. Yeah, I mean, Aaron, the high priest, he said that he was anointed and the oil ran down his beard, right down to his feet. Yeah. The woman with the alabaster box broke it over Jesus. Covered in that precious anointing. Corinthians tell us that we don't walk in the flesh. Corinthians 10 and verses 3 to 5. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not of the flesh. You see, what we might be fleshly outwardly, but inwardly we are a spiritual being. And the spiritual being is stronger than the flesh. I remember one time. Do you remember them great big old TVs they used to have? They were this wide, this deep, you know, great big things. And I needed to move one. Well, I did have a sort of a bit of a back issue. I'm like, how am I going to move this? There's nobody here to help me. Two people brought it in. I'm like, this person wanted it back for something that they were doing. And I don't know why we had it, I can't remember really. And I'm thinking, how am I going to get this? And I've got to get it out through the door as well. It's an awkward, big thing. And I thought, I tried lifting it. I couldn't lift it, hardly. I thought, right. And I walked away and I thought, how am I going to get this out? I thought, oh, I know. And I started to pray in tongues. And I was really praying in tongues. And then I went up to this TV and I went in the keyboard, I got shaky, and I carried the thing out and chucked it back in my car. I thought, whoa. And you see, when we begin to speak in tongues, you know, there is a spiritual language that does warfare. In your tongues, there is a tongues of worship. There are tongues of speaking the word of God. There are tongues of spiritual warfare.
Amen.
And so then you begin to, when you begin to move in battle, there are tongues that cause you to press through. When you don't know what to pray, then begin to speak in tongues. But take on board the fact, I am battling with the enemy. I am going to see a breakthrough.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. And so we're not, it's not, as I said when we started, you know, this week there's been a few, and in the flesh man would like to get up, you know, and think, just come in here, I'd like to have a word with you, you know. 5 minutes off, God, just give me 5 minutes off. Have I prayed that one? Just 5 minutes off, Lord. Just let me. Yeah, I'll feel better afterwards anyway. And then I can repent, can't I, God, you know. But it's not the way. It's like, God, you sort them. It reminds me really of Nehemiah building the walls. Sambalat and Tobias, come down, we want to have a chat about what you're doing and that. You know, we've got an idea. You know, come down. And he says, no, he says, I'm just too busy. I'm too focused on what God's given me to do. I'm just too busy to get involved in your tittle-tattling, whatever, you know. And that's what we've got to be. We've got to come to a place where we're too busy.
Yeah.
in things of focused on what God has told us to do, to be messing about, tittle-tattling with other things. Don't get involved in, don't become sidelined. Because what the devil wants to do is to suck you back into that old bitterness, resentment, jealousy, envy, greed, malice, whatever it is that's your, for want of a better word, weak point. Because each and every one of us have got a weak point. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, the devil don't go for your strengths, because he knows full well you're going to give him the biggest whooping he's ever had, you know. I mean, every time you get up in the morning, the devil looks and goes, oh God, Jesus is up again. Another one. He's terrified of you. If you get up in the spirit and say, hallelujah, praise God, it's, you know, I'm glad to be alive, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm going to see the, you know, God moving in power today. God's going to do something great. And the devil thinks, oh, why has he got up so, you know, what have they got up like that for? You know, why can't they just get up and feel off colour or something? You know, feel old and decrepit, you know, and ache and just, you know, think, oh, I'll stay in bed instead, you know, and stay awake.
No,
I can't do that anymore. Because I remember once, I wasn't well once, and I'd got flu symptoms coming on. And I thought, great, I can have a day off work. I don't feel good. I haven't had a good night. And Grace had got up and got dressed. And I just said to her, I don't feel well. I think I'll stop in bed. So she went out of the room. 2 minutes later, she come in like a dynamo. Come straight in. Lays hands on me and begins to pray. And when she'd finished, she went out and said nothing. And I'm sat there thinking, I don't have a choice, do I now? Had to get up. Oh, well, fine. I thought, here I am, I'm just going to have a day in bed, you know. He's not stopping in bed. If I'm going to work, get out. No, she won't pander to the flesh. You know, So, spiritual warfare, it can be in the smallest thing, it can be in big things, you know, it can be, I told you about the people we've prayed for over the last few months in the area that we've had to see God drive them out, either change them or move them, and God's moved them, and that's what we have to do. We're not going to let the little foxes spoil the vine. We've got to see God moving in power, but you see, it starts first of all with each and every one of us, and then we come together in that corporate anointing. I want to see us doing nights of prayer where we're doing some spiritual warfare and we're pressing in and we are breaking down those spiritual barriers, that we are pushing through, that we are coming to a place where we are creating over the Doncaster area an open heaven.
Amen.
An open heaven,
yes,
to the things of God, right? So there's no resistance. There is nothing that was going to stand in the way. But the spirit of, you know, that Bible verse, when the enemy comes in, full stop. Stop him there. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord rushes against him.
Amen.
You see? But so many people historically have preached, when the enemy comes in like a flood. Oh, no. Get it in the right place. The enemy cannot come in as a flood, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Greater are those that are for us than that is on the devil's side. So he cannot come in like a flood. It's impossible. We're the flood. Does he not say in Scripture that God is going to, in the latter days, there's going to be the former rain and the latter rain? There's going to be a greater outpouring than there ever has been. Give me a drink, Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. Give me a drink, Lord. I want to be around when it starts happening. I have no plans to quit. Amen, did you say? Oh, you're in. Oh, glory, right. I've no plans to quit. Well, not only that, Daniel won't let me. You know, he says to me, "You're not quitting, are you? You're not standing down, are you?" Got things to do.
Yes.
I've got a few demons to beat up. Where's the devil? He's underneath my feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He says, crush him underneath your feet. Just keep out of God's way. When God says move, you get out of the way. Move. And you let God do the fighting. You do the rejoicing. You do the praising. You know, last week I spoke about in 2 Chronicles, I love this one, chapter 20, where Jehoshaphat, God speaks to him and says, stick the singers out front. Stick the worshippers out the front. And the battle, it belongs to the Lord. And we have to let God do the battling. We have to just stay focused on Him. On the calling that God has given to us. On the purpose that God has created for us. On the position God has placed us in. Stay with that. Don't start getting distracted by the things around. Peter, when he was in the boat and Jesus is walking on the water, and they thought it's a ghost. And then they realized, no, it's Jesus. So Peter says, if that's you, Lord, bid me come. So he did. And Peter walked on the word, come. And Jesus is saying, through his spirit, through his word, come. 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 And all we've got to do is stand on that word, come. And then we read on with Peter that suddenly he gets distracted by everything around him that's going on. The wind and the waves. Suddenly it catches his attention. That was his mistake. That was his only mistake. But thankfully Jesus caught his attention again and grabbed his hand. And said, come on. And together they walked back to the boat.
Amen.
Let's finish the story as it really should be finished. Because most people preach and Peter began to sink. Forget it. Because he began then to walk back to the boat.
Amen.
That's where it finishes. They walked back to the boat. He wasn't sinking at that point. He was walking on that word come and he stood on the promise. Yeah, we might have our little rocky bits now and again. But come on. Let's get onto that word. Let's stand on the word. Let's stand on the word come. And let's do the great exploits that God has for each and every one of us. And I mean that for each and every one of us. Grace and I and Daniel and the church leaders cannot do everything that needs to be done. In this area, there are over 10,000 people. Flintwood can't do it on their own. Harvestfields can't do it on their own. The Church of England, the URC, all of us together still can't do it on our own as leaders. It needs the body to move and needs the body to get focused on this and get involved in this and realize that Jesus is saying, come, do the work. Jesus, his last commission was, what was it? Go you into all the world. Preach the gospel. Oh, I love that bit. Next bit. Heal the sick. And the next one. And raise the dead. Hallelujah. And cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Come on. Don't get excited. Don't get excited. I'll do it all for you. Yeah. But I believe that. Folks say, you're nuts. Yeah, I know I'm nuts, but I don't care. I'll stay a fruit and nut cake because I believe this word, because that's what Jesus said. Those were his last words. The trouble is the church has forgotten the last words of Jesus. I don't know what they're preaching. Let's have a good, happy, clappy time. No stress, no pressure. We've got a bar at the end of the service, you know, come and have a good... You know, if you're feeling a bit downcast after the preaching, go and get yourself a quick whiskey. You know, that's what some churches are doing. They're not here, by the way, just from video. You know, preaching were a bit rough, go and get yourself a double scotch, you know, because that will help swell it down, won't it? Eh? What are they thinking about? The only spirit I want is the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'll have a double Holy Spirit, please. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I'll be legless for Jesus. This is what he's, this is the truth. You know, when you're drunk and full of the Holy Spirit, you don't care what's going on. I've been there. I have been totally legless. I have been flat out on the floor and being carried to bed. Drunk on the Spirit. It was great. Oh, I can still remember that experience today. Oh, I'd love another one. Oh, I tell you what. Oh, absolutely. It is a cleansing. It is a washing. It is a refreshing when the Spirit of God just comes over you. Begins that process in you again. You know, just washes through you. And it's like, oh. That's what the word is about. Jesus came to set captives free, and if you've been captive by something and you want to get rid of it, then get some prayer and get into the word and get worshipping God, and he will set you free. Glory to God. He came to set us free, not to keep us in bondage. He came to set us free on a mission. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Bless the Lord. Oh, glory to Jesus. We're just finishing I'm just refreshing last Sunday's service. That's all I'm doing. We haven't started on the next bit. Haven't got to today's yet. How long did you bring sandwiches, by the way? We can get refreshments going on that, so. Glory to Jesus. I haven't got a clue when I started, so I'm not sure how long I've been going. Praise God. I don't watch clocks, I watch calendars. You might laugh, but I've just filled the calendar in for September, haven't I? I went. There's all that to be done. Now, we need strength, but we need the Word of God. We need the power of God. I love when in Matthew chapter 16 and verses 16 and 19 through that section where, and Simon Peter answered and said, went, because Jesus asked him the question, he said, who am I? Who do they say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What's the rock? The revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the rock. You know, the Roman Catholic Church built it on Peter's name and said, that was it Jesus said, on Peter the church will be built. No. Peter will go with the wind and the tide. He was a small rock. But Jesus Christ, the cornerstone.
Amen.
The rock of offense. The rock on which our faith, you know, it says, and if we don't fall on that rock and become and be broken by it, it will smash us.
Yeah.
And so that rock, our faith, our lifestyle, is built upon Jesus. Everything that Jesus did was for you.
Amen. Yeah.
He took my punishment. He took my shame. He took my sickness. He took my diseases. And he did it for you.
Yeah.
It's your name. When he did it, when he died on that cross, he saw you down the corridors of time. Wow. I can't imagine that. You know, God saw all this happening. God is already planned tomorrow. God is in tomorrow. We've not arrived there yet. And upon this rock, Jesus, upon this revelation that thou art the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. You know, when I hear folks saying, oh, the devil's doing this to me, and the devil's doing that, and it's like, well, get out of the devil's camp and get into the presence of God, and then the devil can't touch you.
Yeah.
But, you know, so many people, instead of taking responsibility for themselves, blame the devil.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, oh, the devil made me do it. Did he? Are you sure about that? Or is it you, your little devil, that did it yourself? Right, isn't it? So we always do it. Adam did it from the very inception of time, didn't he? That woman you gave me. Have you noticed? It's three pointing back. That woman. We're all to blame.
We are, everyone.
All to blame. But we're all forgiven. We're all forgiven. Because of Christ. Because of His blood. Because of His name. Because of His sacrifice. We're forgiven. There is now no condemnation. And you see, you have to get that truth into your hearts and into your life. There is now no more condemnation. Because when it comes to doing spiritual warfare, when it comes to facing up with the demonic forces of hell that would seek to come against us, they will accuse you, they will seek to abuse you mentally and emotionally, and you have to stand there and say, that person's dead.
Amen.
I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man and woman by the blood and by the name of Jesus Christ, and I stand on the word of God and I strike you down.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. And we deal with the enemy in those areas because God has done it. But you see, we've got to use the word. We've got to use the word. It goes on to say, I just love those three verses. They're powerful verses. He says, I will build my church on this revelation, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Yeah.
What does that say? You've got authority. What does a key say? I've got the right to be here. The key says I can open these doors, and it's a master key.
Amen. Amen.
You see, we have a number of locks in this building. They all work from one key. There's nothing locked. There's nothing hidden from us.
No.
We've got the key. The Word of God. And it opens up so many things to us. It opens up the blessings. It opens up the promises.
Yeah.
It opens up the power for God to flow through His people. It opens up access for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. It opens up for the Spirit to speak to us and to direct us. It opens up for the Spirit to reveal to us the mysteries of God. It opens up to us the fact that the Holy Spirit will speak to you about a person's life, and God can allow you to have an input into that person's life and reveal Jesus to them. That's what it's there for. Hallelujah. Give to you the keys. of the kingdom. Wonderful Jesus. You know, I talked about mirrors earlier. You know, Christ came to earth to be a mirror image of the Father. He said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, I'm a mirror. You know, he's saying basically, I'm a mirror image of my Father. I just look like my dad. I talk like my dad. I act like my dad. Yeah, that's right. Where he is, the Father is. Yeah, so, you know, he says, me and the dad are one. I'm not being disrespectful, you know, because I know as kids, my sister and I, we could stand in a room as children and you could have a group of parents in and they'd look at us and say, I know who your mother is. I know who you belong to. Didn't they? We didn't have to say, you know, so if we were doing anything wrong, we weren't doing anything wrong. If we did anything wrong, they'd only to look at us and say, I know your mother isn't good. We haven't got a chance. But if you knew me, Dad, we wouldn't dare do anything wrong, because wait while you get home. We were so good as children, weren't we? So Jesus is saying, look, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The love that I've imparted into you, the words that I've spoken to you, these are the words from the Father. This love is from Father. And you see, we as a church have got this powerful love. This powerful love that is flowing through us will bring destruction to hatred. It pulls down those strongholds of hatred. That's right though, isn't it, Shirley? Just thinking about it. 20 odd years, hated God. 28 years, hated God. Something that happened in her life. Then we introduced her to the real God, to Jesus, a representative of Heavenly Father. And she fell in love with Him. And all that has gone. She's a transformed person. She's been changed. Hallelujah. And she's going on now from glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah. Amen. But this is the truth of it. But if you hang on to the past, the devil uses that against you. You've got to let go of it. Yeah, but you don't know how much I've been hurt. No, neither do you know anything about me, but that's okay. But the fact is, I've had to learn. I've got to let go of that. I've got to forget that. I've got to choose not to remember that anymore. I've got to push it away. And when the devil brings it back, say, hey, just look at this trunk I found with all your rubbish in. Yeah, where'd you get that from? Well, I went fishing for it. Well, you better chuck it back where it belonged, because that person's dead.
Amen.
No longer alive. That person died, but has been born again through the blood and through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is growing in us and changing us. The devil tries to use thoughts every time. Did God say in Genesis? Jesus even said, he made it even more tougher for us. He said, well, if you thought it, you've done it. Wow. And how many times have we been caught when we sat there doing something and a thought comes in? And we're like, where did that come from? You know? Some evil thought of some sort and flashes into your mind. You think, whoa, where did that come from? Ever had that happen? It came from the pit. And the devil's trying to rob you and steal from you. And so you have to, you know, the Word of God tells us, take every thought captive. Take every thought captive. We're going to stop at that. We've just got to where we were last week, so praise God. I'll put a marker on my notes and we'll see if we can move from there next week, shall we? Hallelujah. If they let me preach next week, or he might have got fed up with me by then. Might send me an holiday or something out of the way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Are you learning anything from this? You know, this is the ultimate thing. Are you learning anything from this? You know, sometimes we've got to preach this time and time and time and time again till we grasp this. Because it is about grasping this and getting hold of this, because this is, you know, this is part of our weaponry. This is part of our warfare. This is part of our calling. I'll say that again. This is part of our calling.
Yeah.
You know, you're not saved to sit.
No, you're saved to serve.
You're saved to serve the living God. And there's much work to be done in the kingdom. And you know, we're just trying to put people out there and let people start to do what we need to do. And you know, I just thank God that on Monday there was a group of us came together and we took that floor, came up. The biggest job was shifting it out of the building and stacking it. But it's been left to two or three of us. We might have still been doing it. Because we've got to make room and make space and everything. But thank God for people that just said, I'll do that. Yeah, but that's not preaching the gospel, is it? No. But whatever your hand seeks to do it with all your might. We're building the kingdom. We're making preparations for the work of the kingdom. So, you know, we've had to deal with things in this place. Sort it. And when people walk in now, and they walk in and go, wow, there's such a feeling and a presence. Daniel brought some folk in from London, some Nepalese Christians, some family members, and he brought them in one Saturday, I think, was it? They walked into the building and they went, wow, you can feel a presence of God in the place. I want that to be like that, so that when we walk in, when anybody walks in, the presence of the love of God is there.
Yeah.
It's tangible.
Yeah.
You don't have to open your mouth.
You
know, Smith Wiggles used to walk around and people would suddenly come in contact with him and they'd be on the faces asking for their sins to be forgiven and he hadn't spoken to them. It's the presence. We carry a presence with us. Just let it leak a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, leave a trail.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Leave a trail of devastation in hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plundering hell to populate heaven. That's what we're here to do. So begin your spiritual warfare. Let your praise, let your worship, let the confession of the word of God, standing on that word, let the blood of Jesus, realize the importance of it. Realize the importance of the breaking of bread. Realize that God is there with you.
Amen.
And that when you speak the word, God is there. He said, did somebody speak my words?
Amen.
And God's there. He said he'd never see his children begging bread. He said he'd send his word out. It will not return to him without accomplishing that which he had sent it forth to
Amen.
Do.
Every time.
And you know, what we need to realize is that, and I've had this just recently, people coming in and they want to pray for these enormous, great, big things. And it's like, I've held off, but I'm going to say it today. Have you got faith for the small things? That you can actually see that it happened within a few days or a week or two. That then you can say, wow, I prayed for that. And God did it. Guess what? You take that and it's a building block. You know, it's another step. Wow. Then you start praying for something else, maybe a little bit bigger, you know, and suddenly that comes to pass. Wow, praise God. And then you start praying for something else. And another victory, and it comes. and another one. And so from that point, now you're walking by faith. You're standing on those miracles, those prayers, you see, and your faith rises. You're not, you know, you don't start praying for, oh, I'm going to pray for all of Doncaster to get saved. Start with the one. Start with the one. Start with the one thing. I'm praying for Doncaster, you know, for a great move of God in Doncaster. But there's still those. We need those. Then faith grows. And grows. And grows. And our enemies are then scattered. You know, because I know some of you new believers, if I ask you, are you going to pray for this and believe God? I'll try. That's not faith. Faith looks at things and says, that's mine. It's mine. It's mine. God said by His word, and I'm standing. Healing, you know. Can you pray for somebody who's got a cold? Yeah. You know, some folks say, I want to start with cancer. Right. Ever prayed for a dead person and seen them raised from the dead? Not yet, but it's coming. I prayed for three people. Three of them were raised from the dead. One of them sat here in service today. Died on a Wednesday night in a prayer meeting. Great. Don't come to this church to a prayer meeting. You might die in it. Is that right? She died. The death mask came over. She just... We're in another church building. And we started to pray. We need to pray. And immediately, this voice got on my shoulder and said, you're going to look stupid in the morning, aren't you? Newspaper headlines. Minister refuses to send for ambulance. Woman dies in church. And I'm like, get off. And we together as a church just battled for 5 to 10 minutes. And this voice is constantly at me saying, you'll get the blame for this, you know. It'll be all over the newspapers. It'll be on the TV. And I'm like, I'm not having this. And suddenly, Joan came back and she was telling you that she was going down this tunnel and suddenly she was stopped and a bright light came and drew her back. True? And she's still here. How many years?
15
years ago. God doesn't do things by half. Can you see what I'm saying though? We have to start in small things. And this is where we start. We start with the small things. And we step forward and we step into bigger steps of faith. And then we get even a bigger step of faith to go for. It's what God does. But our spiritual warfare takes us there. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we walk the walk of faith. We stand on the promises of the Word. We stand on the blood of Jesus. We stand on that name of Jesus. We stand in the victory of the cross.
Yep.
And we see things done through Him who lives, who died and lived and rose again for you and for me. Amen. The Lord bless you.